Hello, welcome back to episode 18 of series 8 of My Mate Bought a Toaster. I realised the other day it's 5 years since we started this. So thanks very much if you have been listening since the beginning. Well done, you. Today's episode is with the fantastically funny and intriguing, there we are, there's a different word, Paul Gorton, who is probably best known as being Paul off of Traitors. And he's just brilliant. I just absolutely love him. You're going to hear me falling deeply in love with him. He's a very charming man. And maybe that's why he was so good at Traitors. Maybe he is actually planning something behind my back. Oh, my God. If you've not seen Traitors, don't switch off, because it's still just a really interesting talk with a really interesting guy with a really great story. And, yeah, I'm really, really pleased with this episode. We talk about his, obviously, his background and where he grew up and how he's always wanted to act and do comedy, and real life has always got in the way. So it's a really, really great chat. I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to see clips of this episode. Follow us on Insta. We're ToasterPod on Insta. And also go to YouTube to subscribe to our vids, and then you can get all our latest episodes, because some people are now watching it all on the YouTube. It really is quite the futuristic hellscape in which we find ourselves. Go to youtube.com/@mymatebourtatoaster. I know it's an inconveniently long address. youtube.com/@, as in the, you know, the at symbol. Don't write AT. Goodness sake, don't write that. youtube.com/@mymatebourtatoaster. And you can see all the videos, and I think this Paul Gorton one's going to be up there soon. Enjoy this episode, and I'll jump in at the end and just say bye. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Paul Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Paul Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Paul Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love. Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, and this is the show where we dive into someone's Amazon purchase history to tell their life story, and in the case of my guest today, to find out why they are a treacherous sociopath. That's right, it's Paul Gorton from Traitors!
That was a lovely little intro. I got lost in you a little second then when you were reading into, when you were talking into that.
Did you?
That was lovely.
Did you fall into my eyes?
I kind of like paused my whole life for a second then.
Well, I should say, right, the thing is, Paul, you and I are both, what, 6 foot three, four?
I'm 6'5", you're 6'2".
We'll have 6'3". I've just had a haircut, so probably 6'2.5", right? And so similar sort of height, ginger beard, slightly better hairline than me, for now.
For now.
Fingers crossed.
You're a tiny bit older.
Exactly. What I was going to say was, I think that what happened then, you paused and you looked into the future.
Yeah, I think I did.
You saw me and you saw the future. And how was it?
Okay. I was fine.
I'll settle for that.
I think I was fine.
Yeah.
If that's the worst case scenario of what's coming up.
Yeah.
Then it was like a, okay.
Happy to be a worst case scenario. If you are a tall ginger man with a beard and you show off.
Yeah.
This is your future.
Again, perfect.
Could you have ever possibly guessed that your future would involve going on an iconic TV series such as Traitors and ending up in this, I'll be honest, mess?
I have no idea how anything has happened, even to this day, where, like, I'm walking in here and then meeting people and it's just like, how is this happening? Yeah. How is this my life now?
Mm.
It's utterly bizarre.
But fun, right? Because that's why we loved you on Traitors, because you just looked like you were having a lot of fun.
It was the best thing in the world. And if you are going to be given that opportunity to then go on the show and all that type of stuff, then you've got to have the biggest laugh that, you know, you could ever have.
Yeah.
So I was never going to hold back.
No.
If anything, because it was a lot bigger than what the first season was, and I think that's because it was better.
Mm. Because obviously you were in it, that's why.
Well,
more bearded ginger people, it's going to make it good.
Well, put more ginger people in front of the camera, the ratings...
Of course.
Exactly right.
Of course.
So, yeah, I just thought, if I knew so many people would have watched it, I would have done more.
When you were making it then... Were you thinking, because, look, this episode isn't just going to be us going on about Traitors, okay? Because I understand there'll be people listening who've not watched Traitors and who aren't interested. But
trust me,
Paul's great, and this is going to be a really interesting chat. So that's my first thing to say. And I want to talk about reality TV and doing these shows in general as well.
I'll have
a chat about that in a bit. But when you were doing it, could you have predicted the size and the scale of the show? Because it went off. Traitors Series 2 came up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I heard it's quite good. I watched it with my kids, and before I knew it, we were... addicted in a slightly dangerous way.
Yeah. And the whole nation was like that.
Yeah.
People were hooked. I feel like everyone watched the first episode and was like, okay, we can maybe get to this and stuff like that. Mm. By episode three, I think it was like, yeah, it was palpable. So Saturday morning, Tuesday night, the whole nation was just kind of gripped. Mm. I still can't believe that there's people that haven't seen the show.
Yeah.
And like, maybe they've done it in like a little bit of like, no, I don't watch things like that. They are missing out.
That's interesting though, because there is a snobbery around shows like Big Brother and Love Island. Yes. And people go, not for me. But the thing that was funny about Traitors was it's Love Island for Guardian readers. That's the thing. And yet it still appeals to everyone as well. So even you get the sort of middle class snobby people who go, I don't watch reality TV.
Yeah.
For some reason, something about Traitors, they go, oh, it's very clever. And you're like, no, no. All those dynamics happen on Big Brother and Love Island, but you're too much of a snob to watch them.
Yeah, exactly right. But then I think Traitors goes one step further in like the gamify bit. Mm. Is like it makes it even better, and then it's treachery.
Yeah.
The word murder on the BBC is used every like fifth word or something, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's a lot of joy in murder. Cluedo did it.
Yeah.
And then it all just went silent for fun murder on TV.
Cluedo and then went straight off the map.
Yeah. Where is... You don't see that these days.
Where's Cluedo now?
Who killed Cluedo? The irony. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At Toasterpot is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a Sony film with cheese and ham. At Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, I swear it's not a scam, I think. Let's go back, right? I've got your Amazon purchase history in front of me, right? And I can see when you made your first ever order.
Okay.
Right, which is actually quite recent in the context of things.
Yes.
Because we can go right back with Amazon, and this is it. This is when you started. It's 2016.
Yeah, 2016. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so...
I had no money before that.
Okay.
Poor.
Right, of course. What were you doing before that, then?
I can't... You know the way some people can...
I can't say.
I can't say,
it's
yeah.
It's a blur? Prison.
It was... yeah, there was bars.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know the way some people can go back to a year and go, oh, in 2009 I did this?
No.
It's people that also went to uni, I find. They kind of live inside of educational years.
Mm.
Oh, well, in 2020 I had my gap year.
Did you not go to uni?
Didn't do uni. Haven't got GCSEs. School just wasn't for me. So I left school and went straight into a very well-known establishment called Burger King.
Wow.
And okay. I was... Because we had a McDonald's and we had a Burger King on the retail park next to where I lived. Very posh estate. The McDonald's was always busy. The Burger King was always dead.
Yeah.
And I needed a job. I'll go to Burger King then.
It's going
to
be late.
My sister went to McDonald's.
No, why would you do that? You'd be busy.
She's run off her feet.
You're going to do absolutely nothing at Burger King.
Yeah.
That's genius.
And I loved Burger King burgers. And I would, on my breaks, I would like sneak a burger in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I'd go inside the toilet cubicle and I'd eat burgers. And I, honestly, at that time, I thought I was winning.
For some people, eating a Burger King burger, you know, on a break in a toilet cubicle could be a low point. Not for you.
I don't know. I don't know how you could see that. Well, maybe it's objectively like looking out and then coming in.
You were being paid to eat a burger.
I'm being paid £3.75 an hour.
Oh, wow.
So for that hour was £3.75 and you get a free burger, which is probably another £3.
Are you a natural optimist?
100%, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. You've got to be... I'm a constantly, optimistic, positive person.
Yeah.
And to a fault. So, like, my other half always has a go at me because if something's negative,
mm-hmm.
I immediately spin it round.
Yes.
Whereas apparently what you should do is listen to the negative, understand it, and then move on.
No.
I won't do it.
I think bluster and momentum.
Yeah.
Just power through. There's always a silver lining.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird being like that. We have similar energy. Similar bouncy, tiggerish energy. So hang on. So go back. So you're 16. You're working at Burger King. Where are you? Where did you grow up?
St. Helens.
Okay. And you're working at Burger King.
Yeah.
What are you... I'm interested in why you dropped out of education. What, you didn't like the formality of having to sit and listen? Authority issues?
The school, I couldn't concentrate.
Right,
I feel like I lived off sugar back in the day, like all kids, like our age. Granulated sugar, cornflakes, chuck that on there. So I had no attention span.
Yeah.
My whole goal in school was just to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
when I did sit my GCSEs, you're in the big hall and it's silent and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
I still wanted to make people laugh. So one thing I did was when the teacher said, okay, you can all begin, I didn't open my paper. I didn't move. And I was sat and I was looking around the room.
To get laughs.
And see shoulder moves. See this?
Oh, that's good stuff.
Beautiful. And I'm like, I'm making this better for you guys, and I hope that you get your GCSEs that you want, but I'm going to choose to not do it.
Also, how much pleasure am I getting right now out of my B in GCSE history? How much pleasure am I getting right now? Literally none. How much pleasure am I getting out of you doing that
Yeah.
at a GCSE?
Loads.
How many? Loads.
Also, low-key showing off about the B. So that's fine. Because you didn't have to say that, but you did. So that's a well done for getting a B. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. It's
I'm
okay.
with this social ninja.
Did you do? Did you go uni as well? Did you?
Look at me. Of course, I went to university.
Of course, you went to university. We're the same.
I am the formalised version of Paul Gorton. I am the boring Paul Gorton. I'm the one who took the obvious things. I went to a university, and then I got
Did you do really well? Did you do journalism? What did you do?
I did English. I read books.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. Because
it's a bit silly, isn't it?
Of course, it's silly.
What book did you read? Shakespeare.
Earnest conversations about books. Well, I read Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. Can you imagine?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a long book written by a Russian man called Leo Tolstoy. It was translated into English, which is helpful because I don't speak Russian. I'd recommend it. How long would it take you? Do you read books? Do you read at all?
No, I can't. I don't have the attention span for books. But I'm addicted to Audible. Yes. Because if I can have a narrator that can also, or like multiple actors. Mm. In fact, I wouldn't say there's like audiobooks and then there's actual like boring books with words.
Yes.
And then there's films.
Right.
And audiobooks kind of in the middle because you're painting the pictures and then someone else is giving you the different voices and
of
stuff
course.
Like that.
So you mean an audiobook where it's a bit of a play?
So it's like a play for your ears.
Archers, but good.
It's Archers, but good.
I completely, and I don't listen to enough of those. And whenever I see them, I'm like,
obsessed.
A full cast drama, did you say?
Yeah, exactly right.
In.
And like some of them, like James McAvoy's in, so I listen to a lot of the Neil Gaiman ones. Mm. At the moment, I'm obsessed with Dune.
Mm.
I'm now on book 4 of Dune. Leto Atreides. We're 3,500 years in the future right now.
Oh my God! I started watching Dune and I loved it. And
I feel
like I need to watch more of it. I watched, I did the standard dad with young kids, watched about 25 minutes and then fell asleep. But thought
classic.
I'm going to come back to that.
Yeah.
Talking of books, we can actually come back to the format. We literally haven't. I mean, mate, we've done loads.
Already. We're an hour in. Yeah.
We haven't even done the bit.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So, Paul Gorton, let's look at your Amazon purchase history.
This is
unbelievable how long it's taken to get here. This is going to be a long one, guys. So, look, 2016, June 2016, you got no money. Oh, that's why we got there. Because why have you got no money? I thought you were quite successful professionally.
No. I've only been successful, like, in that, it sounds gross saying that, but I've only done okay since, like, meeting my other half. So that's, like, 11 years ago. But when she met me, I lived in my parents' house in the attic.
Really?
On like a little futon-y thing. Yeah, because I did live in a house before that, but then I lost that house.
Oh, wow.
Because if you don't pay the rent, remove you.
Yeah, classic.
So,
classic one.
And I didn't get that dynamic.
It's a niche rule, isn't it, that?
It's odd that they aren't very specific about it.
They should really make it clear that if you don't keep up your payments,
then
your home is at risk.
Then you actually kick you out.
How was that moment? Did you when you got kicked out of the house? Was it just you? Was you by yourself?
Just
you?
Me, just little old me. And
was there a bailiff?
There was no bailiff. I lost my, but the landlord would like knock on the door. He's probably watching this now. Actually, I'm sorry, but knocking on the door, but I'm not sure. And then I got an eviction notice, and then I bagged up all of my belongings into bin bags, and then I just left them there, and then I just went back home to my parents, and then they binned everything that I owned.
You binned off the belongings on purpose. Did you not want the belongings anymore?
No, I don't. I'm not attached to like belongings or anything like
God,
that.
Like Jack Reacher.
I felt a little bit like Jack Reacher.
A lot
of people
on,
say
man.
That. Yeah.
She's got a toothbrush and that's it.
Well,
like a ginger Jack Reacher.
This is honestly what I think. Well, the toothbrush was an interesting one because you might be no, because you're educated. Mm. So I was always a once a brusher a dayer until I met Kate.
Mm.
So every morning, brush teeth, classic. Mm. And then when she started staying over at mine, no brag, she would then be like, I'm just going to brush my teeth and we'll go to bed. And what? I was like,
crazy.
Okay, well, I'll see you in the bedroom then. It's like, she's a bit obsessed.
Yeah.
But then, no, apparently you should brush twice a day.
Yeah, beginning and end.
Yeah.
I had my...
You're similar.
I mean, I can't believe our parallel lives.
Really?
Honestly, my oral hygiene
terrible.
As a child and pre-Beth, my wife... Terrible.
Yeah, women help with like the oral hygiene.
I'm afraid they do.
They do.
And that sounds like a vast gender stereotyping, but it's absolutely true. They help by not letting you anywhere near them if you smell like cabbage and onions.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a great incentive.
It's great incentive.
So you got thrown out of your flat. You moved back in with your parents. You're what age? But we haven't even got to your Amazon purchase.
Yeah, I know. I was in, it was late. I was like early 20s.
Okay.
And I've always been a puncher. So like I work in sales because if you've got no education and maybe a bit of a personality, go and sell stuff, right? And see if you can go and do it.
Yeah.
So I tried that. I lost my job. But then I was always a puncher. I was always like, oh, well, I have lost that job, but I'll just go and get another job. So that's absolutely
optimism.
Fine. Optimism. Yeah, exactly
right.
The
power of the bounce.
Yeah. But this is also, like, it can be a failing as well, because I remember when I first met Kate, mutual friend sent me a text.
Right.
Do you want to come and meet my mate? Apparently, she likes gingers. This is the story. I don't know whether she did say that, like I fancy ginger fellas or whatever. And this girl's gone, oh, I need to introduce you to Paul. So I said to Zoe, send me a picture, send a picture of Kate. Kate's a model. So I've looked at this girl and I'm like, this is the best thing in the world. I'd love to even just go meet her.
I'll be honest, I've looked at your Instagram and I have seen your other half on your Instagram.
It's insane.
And I think I said the words, well, that's, is that, no, that can't be his wife.
Who's, are they related? Is it like a sister?
Is this someone? Yeah.
Does she help her? And like, is he a cleaner or something?
is that, who is that person?
It's insane.
Is that, it must be his flatmate?
Yeah.
So okay, so Zoe says, come and meet this girl.
So come and meet this girl. So then I've gone, so I've jumped into my little Mini. I mean, the beauty of someone 6'5" driving a Mini as well.
That's
fantastic. That's the ultimate masculinity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because
he must be clown. So secure.
Yeah, he's
in a Mini.
That is great.
Amazing.
He must have a massive knob.
That's massive.
Basically what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And again, not. It's like average for like
we
a
are getting
giant.
So many exclusives and we haven't even got onto the format. So you
that'll be in the papers.
So when you met her and she is a clear 10 and you're a, I'm not going to put a number on you.
You
I'm
can say, if you want to say 6.
I'm not going to do that because if I put a number on you, that makes, I'm definitely lower than you. Do you know what I mean?
Only by one though.
Well, yeah, but I still don't want to bracket it.
We could
but
be a 6
you.
And a 7.
I'll take that. We're at 6s and 7s. So when you turn up and you meet her,
yeah.
Does sales pull kick in? Are there any gremlins? Can we find any Gorton gremlins?
Oh, I don't know. But when I met her, I was just ultimate. Oh, I was kind of like this, which is great.
I'm very attracted to you right now. That makes sense.
Are you really?
Yeah, I see
I
what
got
she
that.
Does. Yeah. Let's see what happens by the end of the show. As soon as we start recording, I'll be like, cheers, boy.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Proper red light syndrome. It's gone now. It's over.
Oh, I love
we got
it.
The lights.
Sometimes you gotta spice up your life in the bedroom. How about you go online and buy a sexy costume? Love it at this age doesn't have to be doom and gloom. Oh, it's time you felt so fine, you buy a sexy costume.
So it's, we did great. I got a number and all that type of stuff. The reason why I'm saying this is... I then invited her to mine. So we started chatting for a couple of months and all that type of stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, come over to mine and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So she's come and met my mum and dad. We're in like a 2 up, 2 down in St. Helens.
Oh my God. So she's coming to meet you date-wise, sex-wise, and your mum and dad are in the house.
The mum and dad are in the house, but then we're downstairs having like little chats. Mm. Next minute, oh, we'll go up to my room. Now we've gone up to the first floor,
yeah.
Right? And my little brother's room's there.
Oh, I didn't know there was a little brother involved as well. Is he a ginger too?
He's a ginger too, Kevin.
Is she looking at him? Who's that guy?
Not sure, because he is younger than me and he looks a bit like Michael Fassbender.
Wow.
I know. So then we got to the top and she thought that was my bedroom and I was like, oh no, we're one up. And there's a tiny little square and I had to get it down and get the ladder down.
Are you joking?
And I'm in a futon. Like I'm on a futon and I've got one of them old TVs and then we went into the... But do you know what? And this is the reason why like we lasted, I guess, to this day.
So hang on. You are taking her... for a first potential sex date, someone who is unbelievably beautiful, to your house full of gingers, you're pulling the ladder down,
yeah.
You're going up the ladder into your loft where there's nothing but a futon on a telly, and
yeah.
You.
Yes.
But that's quite clever because that makes you look amazing. If you surround yourself with things that aren't great, futon,
yeah.
Eaves,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're presumably having to stoop because you're in a loft and you're large.
Well, it was like a wooden tent because it wasn't fire... safe.
No.
So it was just my dad just put on wooden boards on the things in the attic.
Yeah.
And then futon.
Oh God.
And then that was it. And then but then I also had I don't want to say it wasn't too bad because I also had a single mattress. So it was a single mattress and then a single futon and I put them together.
Oh.
And then sometimes I would decide when I went to bed at night what one to sleep on.
Yeah.
So like I'm going to go futon tonight.
Nice.
Sometimes I'd go leg on mattress, head on futon.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all bad when I was up there. It was all right.
Wow.
But I was only in there for a year.
Yeah.
And then I got another job in sales.
Of course you did.
In telecoms because, you know.
Yeah.
It's
everyone
just
needs phones and off you went.
And I moved in to this new place. Mm. It was like £400 a month. It was this guy's coach house where like horses used to live, but he just put kitchen lino throughout it.
Great.
And it was just the dream, and it was near Kate. And I'd say from the day that I met her to the day she moved in was like 8 weeks.
No way!
So, something like that. Straight in. Yeah, and then we gabled it up.
You like a poorly renovated space to live in, don't you?
I think so. That's what I like, yeah.
Please, can we get back to the show? Right.
Yes, sorry.
I feel that's good. I feel like that's brought us up to date to 2016, right? This is where we find you, 2016.
Excuse me.
So, 2016, and you have bought, it's quite random, The God Delusion. on audiobook.
Oh, God.
Richard Dawkins book.
Yes, obsessed with Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, fan.
Well, I was obsessed with Christopher Hitchens.
Yes.
Because of his whole personality, and Hitch Slapped was a big thing, how he argues and how he debates and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
And I think I lean into characters like that and try and, you know, I find father figures in kind of fellas like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Richard Dawkins and Chris Hitchens, I was obsessed with.
Yes, yes. The God Delusions are... I remember really early on, one of the first questions is, well, if God exists, who invented God?
Exactly right.
And I remember reading that and going, okay, I need to, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do some thinking.
Well, I went really atheist, like, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I've kind of gone a little bit older, like, I'm a little bit more mellowed out about the whole thing. But I do love the depth that someone can go in to prove a point.
Yeah.
And I think if you're willing to write a book, and a big book...
Yeah, and does he read the audiobook? Because that would be amazing. Just talking to him, another thing!
Yes,
just getting more and more angry.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So this is you exploring your spirituality, right? That's where we start.
Yes.
You've also bought The Mysteries of Modern Physics. These are all audiobooks, as discussed. The Feynman lectures as well. Feynman lectures on
Richard
physics.
Richard Feynman.
Feynman, thank you.
So Richard Feynman's my favourite physicist in the world.
So here you are going, oh, I don't like formal education, blah, blah, blah.
I got obsessed with this.
Yeah, because you're dead clever.
I wouldn't say I was clever. I think...
You are. I would last 3 minutes of that.
But maybe I was really insecure, so I tried to make myself look intellectual, but then actually got obsessed over it.
Mm. But buying it, what's so good about this? This proves you're all clever, right? Because you bought the audiobook. This is no display here. You can buy these books and get them out and, you know.
Oh, just have them on a shelf.
You should go and look at my little bookshelf at home. It's all history books. And people are like, oh, Tom's very clever. I've broken the spines to make a little clever. Right?
Yeah,
but you're not, there's no display here. This is real. And formal education mainly teaches you how to fit in and slot yourself into the silo that the teachers decide. But you've not done that.
Yes.
You've lived in a loft, and now you're studying physics.
And also, just on this, like, no one in the planet, or anyone that's even my closest friends, will know that I was into stuff like this. So yeah, so it wasn't doing grandiose things or whatever it is.
Okay. I mean, does this feel like...
This is the first time this has been spoken about. It feels weird, actually.
This, because, of course, in Traitors, famously, you built loads of fake, worlds and loads of lies. We're finally finding out the truth.
The truth.
This is the only way to do it, right?
Physics.
And it's mainly, right, it is mainly audiobooks. That, in fact, all of 2017, the only thing you used Amazon for was audiobooks, right?
Yeah.
Still loads of stuff to get into here. What's the big deal about Bitcoin? That sounds like
a
Partridge feature. Coming up after 10, what's the big deal about Bitcoin?
That a great impression.
Thank you very much. You've also bought Alan Partridge Nomad.
Well, I was obsessed. I mean, I'm Alan Partridge, Ricky Gervais, they're just guys. David Brent and Alan.
Of course.
Yeah.
Have you got Bitcoin?
At the time, I got, again, it was a big thing, but it wasn't really known, and I wanted to learn everything about it in order to then see if I could make a decision on it and whatnot. So I did have Bitcoin back then, but then I sold them.
You didn't.
Whereas if
did
I
you have whole
them,
Bitcoins?
Did
you have
Yeah, I must have, yeah.
So one of those is now worth about 50 grand.
Yeah, but back in the day, you couldn't buy them.
Feet just touched, by the way.
Didn't they?
Yeah, it was okay. I think
on
it
purpose.
Went well. Bit of electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
So
tiny spark.
So the Bitcoin thing is interesting, right?
Yeah.
There's a cliche, but it's often blokes who get into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Don't know what it is.
Get rich quick.
Yeah, get rich quick. I think so. Yeah, yeah. Because we want to make money in the most lazy way imaginable.
100%.
And that is what Bitcoin is, really.
So, and I researched blockchain, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, all these type of things and all kind of the applications that they can drive in the future and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
But I didn't have the foresight to be like, well, I'll just at least leave them in there for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
But then, listen, who cares, right?
Do you worry about money? Your money guy, does it motivate you a lot?
Yes. My biggest fear in the world is being homeless. Because I feel like I'm really close to that, which is so weird. Even now, it like gives me anxiety thinking about I'll lose everything.
You're still haunted by being booted out of the place?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Or, well, in my entire life, we're not from money. So, like, when you do get a tiny bit of money behind you, like, and I'm not talking about big money, like, growing up, I had no, like, financial intelligence. I didn't know anything about money. Yeah. I didn't know what a credit score was. I would fail credit checks for, like, loans and overdrafts and all that type of stuff and just keep applying, not realising it's going to keep taking my
thing. And the more you apply, the worse it gets. Right,
so I had zero. My Experian credit history was zero.
Mm.
And then I lost my bank account because I was £100 overdrawn. This is when I was really young.
Mm.
£100 overdrawn. And I couldn't afford to get myself out of that. So they just closed my bank account down. So I went for ages with no bank account.
How old were you on that?
Which is in, I don't know, 19, 20, something like that.
It's a class thing. It's a class thing. No, but it is.
It is.
Middle class people... just sort of get used to being on the sort of hovercraft of support. You've got these two inflatables underneath you.
Exactly
that
right.
Keep you bumbling along. I'm privileged, I guess, to include myself in that. I know that if push comes to shove, there's a phone call, right?
Yes, exactly right.
And my friends who, I think my friend Beth, not my wife Beth, another friend Beth, who is talks about her working class background and had to do comedy or to do anything creative is terrifying in a wholly different way.
Yeah.
There's no one to find. There's no phone call because there's not, the money's not
there. It's not there. But my entire life, I've always had a massive chip on my shoulder that I had to go to normal work because all I wanted to do was act when I was younger.
Interesting.
Oh my God. All I wanted to be is an actor when I was
exactly
in school.
Exactly the same person.
And then my. Were you the same?
Of course.
We can still do it. We can still do it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We could do like a two-man show.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Why don't we do Waiting for Godot? Samuel Beckett play. Two blokes just saying very short lines. Easy to learn.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, great.
Again, that was a middle-class thing, wasn't it?
Was
just
a bit.
Saying that.
Oh,
yeah, that's okay.
But my mum... Sponsored by Waitrose.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Boots.
Waiting at the Godot.
Oh, no, what's the one around the Godot? Whole Foods. All food is whole food.
Oh, my God.
But... In school, when you got to pick your GCSEs, you pick your actual lessons. My mum and dad picked mine. I didn't pick mine. I wanted to do PE and drama because I wanted to be an actor or a footballer.
Yeah.
But my mum and dad said, no, you have to do GMVQ business studies. And that had taken up two slots. And I was a miserable failure in that. And it's from that moment. And do you know what? When I was in school, I went to drama class at one point with my two mates to try and make them laugh type of thing.
Of course.
Must have been year 10, year 11, something like that. And I went in and everyone's kind of like warming up and the teacher's there and it's all in this big hall and they were doing Grease. Yeah. And I walked in and the teacher was like, oh, okay, Paul, come in. You know, we'd love to have you here and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was a class clown. So like, you got a bit of a rep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm 6'4 at this point. I've covered in acne. So like, obviously he wants to go and do comedy. So I was taking the mic though and I was like, oh no, I'm not coming. And she said, well, you have to leave then, we're going to have to kick you out. So then the teacher started marching me out with my two mates.
Oh.
My two mates were walking ahead, I was behind, and the teacher, there's enough of a gap between me and my mates, the teacher went, Paul, come back in.
Oh.
And I'm looking at my mates and then I've looked at the teacher.
Oh no, please.
Honestly.
Find out what decision Gorton made after these ads.
Oh. That's so true.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
So, and then I've walked out a little bit, and as she's turned around, I've gone, wom-bom-doo-wop-a-wop-bamboo. And then she went, Paul, come back in. And I've run off with my mates.
Oh, you sliding doors, man. I mean, to be fair, you're here now, right? Life has not ended up disastrously badly, but who knows what could have happened if
you'd
gone back in.
That's 22, 23 years ago?
What
would have happened? But let's say I would still be here now, but I got to do drama. I got to do the thing that I've always wanted to do. But then life is just kind of like constantly falling down for me. So then I have to work. Because I need to go and do this and I want to be successful and have nice things and this and that.
Yeah. And has the success of Traitors given you financially a stability that means you don't need to do work, or is work still front and centre?
Oh no, work will always be front and centre. I can't think of not working because I've got Kate to provide for, I've got Charlie to provide for, I've got my family. I need to have like a constant like financial flow coming in. However, what the Traitors has given me is like loads of opportunity to then have like 20 years of wanting to be creative as just come at once.
Yeah.
So when people say come on a pod, it's like, oh my God, I've waited my entire life to do this. So now I'm thankful for every moment of it.
It's nice to have a guest who's glad to be here for the first time
so
this
glad.
Series. No, but it's lovely to get that platform where you can do stupid things on Instagram.
I think if it ever got to a point where I replace kind of what I earn now and there's kind of like a bit of a foundation layer, then maybe I can kind of like switch one off to switch one on type of thing.
Which is why all your colleagues watching this are like, he was working from home that day.
How was he
doing
so
on that
true.
Podcast?
Well, I was working this morning. I was on a call literally just before I walked in.
Really?
Talking about the Internet of Things.
Love it. Oh, God, yeah. One of my favourite internets. All right. Meanwhile, back at the show. Let's go to 2018 now, Paul Gorton. Let's find out what else is going on with you. And we've had a lot of audible stuff. The numbers pick up here in 2018. Let's see what we've got.
When is 2018? It's 6 years.
2018 is 6 years ago
okay.
now.
So 30 at this
stress
point.
Relief toy set. They look like hemorrhoids, just literally a bag of red grapes.
Is that what I've done? Is that what I've decided to go into?
And you've bought kids' fancy dress glasses and you've bought a fuzzy cush ball. Why have you bought these things? You're a child. You're a big kid.
I'm the biggest kid in the world. My brain is still like 11 or 12 years of age.
Yeah.
And it's still, it's one of them, like, I always wanted, like, loads of toys and all the best things when I was a kid. And my family couldn't afford them, like most families in the country. Mm. So when I got like a tiny bit of money, oh, well, I'm going to go and buy a PlayStation. I'm going to go and buy this and buy that. Everything is like game related.
Yes.
To the point now with Charlie, we got Charlie a roller coaster the other day. Like, for his birthday. No joke. Like, he's got, well, not like a roller coaster. It's not in Alton Towers.
To Alton Towers, no.
Yeah, it's called Oblivion. Yeah. It's in our garden now. We've got a massive hole. It's this thing, like, you sit on it and you go down like a slope.
Yes.
Amazing.
Wow.
Because, so, like, I want to give, it's classic dad, isn't it? I want to give him, like, maybe the childhood that I didn't have type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, not saying that I wasn't happy.
Tears coming up. We've got some tears coming up.
Just thinking.
Yes, the confessional sofa. Always works. Okay, this is good. This is good. You've got some hypoallergenic dog treats. This is December 2018.
Oh, poor Buddy, yeah. And oh, well, this is a great year.
Go on.
So Buddy came into our lives, little doggy. So I was always a bit of a loner. So we moved down south when in 2017, because that's the year before we got Buddy.
Okay.
And we lived in Fulham. And we didn't really have friends. We didn't have family down here or anything like that. Yeah. And then I work from home. So I would just be at home all day, every day on my own.
Right.
So then I was like, oh, let's get a dog.
Yes.
So for my 30th, Kate got me Buddy. And it was magic. And we were in London. The breeder was in Hull.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove to Hull. There's like 9 or 10 of these scrappy puppies running around everywhere. He came straight over to me. I've literally got it on my phone. And he bit my watch, and I went, oh, hey, Buddy. That's it.
But then you've got his name, you've got his dog, you've got your dog, that's it, you're in.
That's it. But you're not allowed to take them home.
No, you've got to come back 6-7 weeks later.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's heartbreaking.
Back to Hull.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's...
So then I drove back home, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's amazing. Here's a picture of him. I've got another 10-hour round trip to go and get him in a few weeks.
It's a good test. How much do I love this dog?
Yeah.
I've got to go back to Hull. That's the mileage test, that's what it's called.
And I went over the Humber Bridge and got fined. Because people charge you to go over a bridge,
even
though you pay road tax.
Right.
So what's that about, Rishi? Yeah.
All right, Lawrence Fox.
Is it?
Let's find out what else is in your manifesto. That is gorgeous. And what kind of dog is Buddy?
He's a Poochon. So he's a poodle and a Bichon.
Lovely.
And it's beautiful. But I'm allergic to dogs.
Not. You're not.
But I want a dog.
So what happens? Have you just got over it?
He's hypoallergenic.
Of course. So it's fine.
And he's ginger. He looks like us. Like if me and you had a kid.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Have you made dog friends? I bet you've made dog friends.
So you make dog friends, but then like you always know the dog's names and you don't know the owner's names.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst thing in the world is if you see your dog friend with the dog without your dog, you look like an insane person.
Yes.
Because you go and say hello to the dog first, and then the person's like, oh, hi, you okay?
What's
and they might not
on?
Remember who you
of
are.
Course.
One moment we had ages ago in Fulham is this really good-looking fella was like walking towards us in the summer with his dog. Now, Kate's with me, and I'm massively punching. So any other good-looking fella's like, walk the other way for at least like... Just let me walk past.
That's why you have that cattle prod on you at all times.
Exactly right, because I look like Quasimodo and she's like this beautiful princess, especially in The Traitors. So this guy's walking towards and he's got one of them good-looking guy walks that I can't do.
Swagger.
Yeah, it's all this. Yeah, stop it. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
They know what they're doing.
Because you know you're good-looking, so just leave it out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this guy was walking towards like, oh, who's this guy think he is? David Gandy. He's got closer. It's David Gandy.
It was actually David Gandy.
And then I've got this horrible conversation where it's me, David Gandy and Kate talking about our dogs. And honestly,
oh
I nearly went,
God.
Shall I go?
This is, yeah,
because
yeah.
you two are like, should be together from a breeding perspective. Mm. Again, in June, you want to, you know, breed the strongest birth line.
Yeah.
And shall
so
I
this
just,
is when you step back. That is when you handed over to Gandy.
I nearly said, and it's a very me thing to say, just go, I'm going to leave you two to it and I'm going to shoot off home. And if Kate, if you come home, great. And if you don't.
I understand.
Honestly.
Don't worry about it.
I say that to her now, like, if you go, I understand.
Well, you got kids now.
Yeah, she's locked in now, so I've got her.
Oh, superb.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that a lot of people watching Traitors will have gone, that's Buddy's daddy! Who are you going to vote for? Hi, is that the BBC? I want to vote for Buddy's daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sweet.
Buddy's daddy's evil.
Have you had a lot of that? Because, you know, all joking aside, right, which is difficult for two of us bouncing around like idiots. But you were the nasty Nick, was it, from Big Brother? You were the nasty Nick.
I was the nasty Nick.
Nasty Nick du jour.
Yeah.
And there was one episode I was screaming at my telly because of you.
Same.
You were watching. Why did I do that? Have you had any incidents? Have you had to apologise to people for real? Have people realised it's just a fucking game?
So I got... So honestly, I got home halfway through September when we were filming it last year. And I said to Kate, I'm the new Nasty Nick. I was like, I'm going to set fire to the country when it comes out. And she was like, oh my God, what have you done? And I was like, well, nothing bad. Like, I didn't assault anyone. Do you know what I mean?
And I just lied to every single person under the sun.
I just played the game. I was a traitor.
I was a sociopath. Carry on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I was reading American Psycho. I bought in W.A. Smith's on the train going up there.
Oh, it is all Bret Easton Ellis's fault. Oh,
honestly, it is. I was Paul Bateman going up there, and I was going like, how do I get into, like, because obviously Patrick was a really nice guy, very affable, intelligent, great. He was killing people every night.
Yeah. Don't go in his freezer.
This guy.
Oh my God, it's identical.
Yeah. So my character, I try to do kind of like, what would like a Patrick Bateman-y kind of guy do? And
genuinely. All joking aside, that's absolutely fascinating. So that was like, that became a sort of manual for you.
Yeah. So, and every single night I would get in, I would read a couple of pages of the book to kind of stay in character. I didn't break character. A lot of the guys, like last year, were saying they were method acting and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they weren't, because every time they went in the diary room or went home, they became themselves again. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I just kind of tried to stay in the zone.
Well, as you were doing it, were you thinking, who is this guy? Or were you thinking, this is the thing I was born to do?
No, I'm an actor. I literally, you know, not to put myself on the same level, but I'm sure when Joaquin Phoenix was playing the Joker, he probably went through a very same mental thing that I went through when I'm in my hotel room.
Yeah. Your processes are exactly the same.
I think so, you know.
But he was famous. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, and there's loads of them, right, who are just, like Dustin Hoffman was famously method.
Yeah.
Full on. So, but the point where this tips into, are you okay, is when you're doing it, and the diary room is like that, pretty much by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And you're still playing this role.
Still in there. Because as long as, when you're inside of the castle, like, that's kind of like you being inside of the telly. Mm. So, like, anything that's there, anything that's going to be on camera, like, you know that. Also, the other thing was, I thought if I fall out of character, it would be hard to get back into character.
Interesting.
So, like, okay. I'm going to stay as this person until I leave.
Nice.
And, like, I've fallen out of it a couple of times when I got upset.
Yeah.
Because Charlie's 18 months old, like, you kind of feel guilty for leaving your family and your friends and stuff like that. But then you also want to experience this amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
How long were you away from home for?
3 weeks.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
With a little baby, that's a long time.
Oh, it was an incredibly long time.
And did David Gandy look after Kate?
I don't know. I think he might have. And if he did, then thanks, David. That's all I can say. I'm not angry about it. I wouldn't be angry about it.
He's minted.
Well,
he does it great out of that. We like to listen to Toast. And we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, 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 la. Look, 2019, okay? 2019. Let's have a look through here and see what we've got. A lot more orders, by the way.
Oh, right.
In 2019. Yeah, but you've...
Someone's come into a bit of cash.
Well, yeah, Prime Video.
Oh, the big moment.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty. I mean, you've got the God Complex. Maybe you learned it from that.
Oh, well, Jim Carrey was my... Growing up was my guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ace Ventura.
Oh, just amazing. Truman Show was the one for me. I love that.
Oh, that's a very intellectual.
Well, you know, as we've established, I'm the sort of intellectual version of you.
I
think that's what we've got to.
Yeah, yeah.
So, 12th of September 2019, the graduation balloon arch. You've bought a balloon arch here.
Oh, my God. Orange balloons.
Yes.
So, I did a birthday party for Kate, which was an Aperol party.
Lovely.
So I got all Aperol colours. So like it was I built my own balloon arch. Well, I built a balloon arch for Kate and put balloons everywhere and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then do you want to know what I did?
Of course we want to know.
Okay,
what you did.
This isn't showing off.
Go on.
It wasn't an Aperol party.
Right.
It was a Louis Vuitton party. And I got her a Louis Vuitton bag. And all of our friends were there and stuff. Whoa. And I walked in and I said, oh, it's not an Aperol party, everyone. And gave her this big orange bag. She hated it.
Did she actually?
Yeah, I took it back the next day.
You are joking.
Yeah, took it back.
What, there? So you did the big spectacle.
She was like,
you're a performer.
Performance.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Was it? Hang on, was it a real bag?
It was a real bag, yeah.
It wasn't. It was a real bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
So financially doing much better at this point.
Much better. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've gone from living in a loft.
Yeah.
To giving away, giving your other half Louis Vuitton bags.
Louis Vuitton bags.
Amazing.
You think this is like the pinnacle for her?
For me, this is a sort of, I mean, obviously you're not asking her to marry you at this point, but it feels like a sort of materialistic marriage.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
like,
right.
Here's a thing, here's some, here's physical evidence of how much I love you.
Exactly.
And she's
right.
Gone, no, I don't.
She didn't like it.
There and then did she go, no, I'm not.
No, she faked it. Okay,
oh,
which I didn't
wow.
know women could do this, but apparently they're really good at it.
Yeah,
so she faked it. Mm-hmm. No one's ever done it with me.
Yeah.
And
it's good for you to get a taste of your own medicine, to be fair, bearing in mind traitors.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Well, how did she fake it? What did she say?
So the next day she was just like, I don't like it, it's quite tacky. And, you know, I'd prefer something else.
Cash.
So we went to Selfridges.
Yeah.
And she picked another one.
Right.
That was slightly more expensive.
Were you sulking? Were you doing the sort of Partridge, like scratching your chin? Just like, yeah, fine, get what you want.
No, do you know what? For a long time in our relationship, I couldn't be materialistic because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And I always thought, for you to stick and support me for all that time, as soon as I do well, you're going to feel the benefit of
nice.
It.
Nice.
So before getting myself something, she got something first. So
okay.
It was a nice thing to do.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm not wealthy.
Good.
It was just kind of like a,
no.
You know, I got a bonus from work and I thought, she's going to get something nice. But I messed it up.
Well.
Yeah.
I think that's a sign of a very happy relationship.
But she loved the balloon arch.
What would you... Well, the balloon arch is amazing. Balloon arches have really come into my life in the last couple of years for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm seeing them more and more.
It's really taken off at the moment.
We are living in the balloon arch era. That's
yeah.
how it's going to be known.
But is it Big Balloon trying to control us?
It's Big Latex.
It's Big Latex.
They are trying to flog balloon arches on us. But I do feel like... For me, it looks like an asthma attack waiting to happen.
Or yeah.
Did you blow them up, you know, manually blow them up? Or?
You might see on there what a
pump.
Is it on there?
Can't see it, but I'm assuming some sort of pump.
An electric balloon pumper upper. Now you put the balloon over the nozzle,
yeah.
Put the nozzle down.
Yeah. Because the thing is,
perfect.
Here's an obscure injury. When I blow up a balloon, I get a weird thing here. Do you get this? When I blow up, there's something about the pressure around the base of where my jaw meets my neck, and it's like it goes... And then it hurts.
You got like gills.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like sealed gills.
Maybe.
Maybe you need like little incisions here. So the air
someone listening or watching gets a similar balloon blowing injury.
I've never had that.
My gill lizard people.
I don't
if David
think
Icke's watching,
blow.
I'm not a lizard.
Yeah.
It really hurts. So I'm always, I look at balloons and I have a sort of,
balloon
oh,
envy.
They hurt. Well, no, I just think they might hurt. But a balloon arch is so nice because it's this, it's you can put it on the front door. So
yeah.
Not only are you displaying it inside the house to your guests, you're saying, to your neighbours, check this guy out.
Look at us. There's a birthday at this house here.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Look what's happening
there's
over here.
There's a gravitas to a balloon arch.
The problem with a balloon arch, right?
Yeah.
What do you do with it afterwards?
Yeah, it's knife.
It's you're popping the balloon arch, and there's
yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of balloons there.
Oh, yeah. There must have been 100 balloons. And you're just going, but I can't tie a balloon. And I actually bought like this thing you put your fingers in and your thumb, and you kind of like self-tie the balloon.
Wow.
I love a gadget.
You can't tie a balloon.
Can't tie a balloon. No, sorry, I can tie a balloon, but I always do it too tight around my finger. My hands are quite big.
Yeah.
Are you a big hand guy?
Of course.
Hit me.
Of course.
Bigger than mine?
Bigger than yours.
No, they're not.
About the same.
But I'd say
bigger,
mine was
both bigger than average.
Ever so slightly
thank
bigger.
You. Bigger
yeah.
than average, that's the important thing. but I can still tie a balloon. I enjoy tying a balloon knot.
No, no one. No, 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 no.
I enjoy tying a balloon knot.
Do you really?
Yeah, I find it satisfying. I like the squeak. I just don't like blowing them up. So I get other people to blow them up.
And we'd be the perfect team.
Mate, that's where this whole thing is just becoming a date.
It really is, isn't it? Oh, mama made the butter toaster. Riding online shops just like a roller coaster. Oh, don't it feel so fine when you're buying all lovely strange things online, like books, weight sets, and posters. Come on here, the best of the best of my mate. What else have we got in 2019?
Oh, look, the comfy velvet two-seater sofa. Two-tub chair.
Now, we are in Walton-on-Thames here.
£275.
That's not bad for a two-seater sofa.
Quite cheap, really. It's just a lot of money for Amazon, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Okay, so Walton-on-Thames, you've bought a lovely plush sofa.
We had this...
very middle class.
I'm trying to jump out of working.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm still working, but middle taste...
Mm-hmm.
So we had in the kitchen, we had like this lovely like little area.
Yeah.
And we're like, what do I put? I need to put things in areas.
Yes.
Like if there's a gap, I need to
fill it.
Zones.
Yeah, I need my place.
Zonal marking. I like that.
Exactly right. Okay. So there was this bit, and I was like, let's get a little two-seater sofa there. Yeah. But then because we got Buddy and Mucky Paws, let's not spend a fortune. Uh-huh. I'll jump on Amazon. And I found that, which is kind of like pinky.
Pinky. But it looks quite velvety and plush.
Yeah. And it's like dining.
And it's for the dog, basically.
It's basically for Buddy to sit on when we're cooking, yeah.
I love looking. I've got two dogs. And I love nothing more than staring at my dogs when they're sitting on our furniture.
Oh, my God. There's nothing better. Do you know, like, when people say, if you had one wish, what would your wish be? And everyone wants to be rich or, like, fly or wherever it is. Mm. I wish that dogs could talk. Mm. That's all I want. I'd love to know what Buddy's thinking.
What do you think he'd be thinking? What do you think he'd say? Those cotton buds in my ears.
Probably. I think he's probably... I think a lot of him is, I love spending my time with you. Like, when I look at him, like, it's like he's trying to talk to me. Yeah. And he does, like, he's kind of got, like, a bit of a cat about him. So he does kind of do, like, oh, rah, rah, rah. So he tries to talk.
Yeah.
But if he could talk, I would just love it.
We could make a lot of money. If we pretended to be able to understand what they were saying. If we did a sort of Dr. Dolittle thing, we could get a van.
Yeah.
Brand it up and just swear blind that we know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then just make it up.
We could make up, like, some sort of, like, fake, like, metal helmet. We put that on the dog and that and the thing.
And just go around the kennel guys.
Yeah.
And the kennel brothers. We'll pretend we're brothers. We've both got the psychic gene, and we'll just go up to people with their dogs and say, your dog right now is saying, please, please God, he wants to leave you.
Yeah.
Or, do you know what I mean? You could give him dark stuff.
He wants a treat.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh my God, I bet he does want a treat.
Yeah.
And we'd be like,
thank you for taking him for that walk this morning.
Yeah.
How did these guys know?
I think that
would be the disappointing thing. I can't agree to wanting a dog to be able to talk because I think I'd be incredibly disappointed by what I found there.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It's the Holy Grail. You're Indiana Jones on this journey into the centre of a dog, and you get there, and what you find is an old biscuit.
He just constantly says, can I have a treat? Can I have a treat?
Biscuit. Yeah.
Can I have a treat? I need a wee. I need a wee.
I've spent all my money and my life trying to get here. Exactly.
Turn the machine off.
Love it. Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toast. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host. He's gonna ask a couple questions. What they're buying the most. Cause one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast. What we're gonna do now, right? We're gonna skip through because we are running a little bit low on time. And obviously 2020 happened. And we always sort of go into 2020 with
what
a bit
was in
of
2020?
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Remember the Olympics was moved? All that stuff.
Yeah.
VR glasses, by the way. Got some VR glasses there. Got a webcam. This is all classic.
This is all very COVID-y.
COVID-y.
Yeah.
Foam mats. Interlocking foam mats. This is childcare stuff here. Have you got the kid at 2021? Has the kid arrived yet?
Where are we? No. He's 2022.
Oh, so this is gym equipment at home. That's what this is.
Oh, so do you know what this is?
Go on.
That's for the Peloton.
Ah.
Got a Peloton. But it ruins the carpet. So I put it in the third bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's like a little office room.
Yeah.
And I thought I'll put it on gym mats.
Nice.
I'll get some interlocking gym mats.
Yes.
And they worked a treat, by the way.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of interlocking gym mats.
Yeah, okay, nice. I mean, there's a niche Instagram hashtag ad you could do.
Oh, if they want to sponsor me. Yeah.
Interlocking gym mats. So you put them under the Peloton.
Under the Peloton, and it doesn't ruin the carpet.
Does the sweat fly off? Because I find that gross.
Sweat's on the wipe.
You've got a wipe clean floor there.
It's like a wipe clean floor. I mean, it's a very kind of like budget way of doing it.
Fine.
But the Peloton mat to put the bike on was like 100 odd quid.
Yeah, of course.
So like...
why would you do that?
I'm not going to go crazy.
God, Peloton are onto something.
Yeah. Well, this was also in and around lockdown, so you couldn't really go to the gym.
Yeah.
And like, I thought... I don't really like gyms. And I was like,
I'm a lone wolf when it comes to exercise. I do all this stuff. I do it all at home in a room by myself because the faces I pull, no one should see those faces.
Exactly right. And the sounds.
Absolutely. No one needs to hear or see that. And I don't want, I would rather someone watched me go toilet.
Oh, that was too, no, that for
I would
me
rather
like...
someone watched me go toilet than doing the gym stuff. All right, so you're cycling at home. You're doing your workouts at home on your Peloton.
And I was obsessed.
Were you?
Oh, my God, obsessed with the Peloton.
When you get obsessed with stuff, are you full-on throw yourself into it?
I'm a Peloton guy at that point. And then I bought a bike, a cycle bike.
Oh.
Then I got obsessed with cycling.
Yeah. Well, so like, this is Peloton in the real world.
Oh, my God.
And it's cheaper.
Yeah, and the wind. And I was like, it's so
imagine.
Much harder because of the wind. No, this is true. So, I then got obsessed. I can't do anything without being obsessed with it.
Yes, all or nothing. Love that.
And then all of a sudden, it just goes.
When was the last time you went on your Peloton?
Last night. Sorry, not last night, the night before.
Still there then. Still there.
But I hadn't used it for like months. It's hard to exercise with Charlie.
Yeah.
Because like I want to spend time with him and then there's Kate and then like the bike was in our bedroom. It's just hard to do that in the bedroom. When do I do it?
Yeah.
So then
it's
we've
not
got
happen.
A basement.
Okay.
So it's in the basement
you
now.
Have multi-rooms now.
Multi-rooms.
You've got spare rooms, you've got basements. I feel like the increased rooms shows it's good things.
Yeah, yeah. The basement, however, is like 6 feet 1 inches tall.
And you are famously 6'5".
I'm 6'5". The papers, that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fit.
Right.
And when I did the Peloton, you can't sit back.
Oh, or you get into the Peloton, forget, sit back and do
this
yourself
has
a serious
yeah,
mischief.
Yeah, the amount of banging heads.
You're so the only man who wears a helmet on a Peloton.
Yeah, yeah, I literally do. Yeah.
It's incredible. What an image. Well, I've got the knee pads, don't ask. Heading off to the basement. It's very hard to do exercise when you've got the little ones.
Yes,
I find that the stress of saying, I'm going to take myself away from this intense childcare for 45 minutes.
Can't do it.
But no, because then you go and do the exercise and you've got the added stress of that. And I'm like, this is where I have the heart attack.
Yeah, yeah,
it's the stress of hearing the kids kicking off.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
You just can't do it. There's kids are themselves exercise. Most of looking after any child under two is sweating.
Yeah, exactly. It's soft play.
Oh, my God.
I love soft play, by the way.
Oh,
my God.
Absolutely amazing. Let's
go. I'm waiting for Charlie to say, like, can I go soft play? Can I go soft play?
Yeah.
Say, can we go soft play?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Because you can still run around and do it yourself.
Do you want to go down the big slide, Charlie?
Just leave him on the table with your phone.
Exactly
you
right.
You go into the soft play.
And sometimes, like, I don't want to go down the big slide. I'm just like, big slide. £8 it cost me to get in here.
I can tell you live in the north. It's about 30 in the south. All right, look, 2022. We're not on Traitors yet, are we, 22? But you started to do... Did you do like quiz shows and stuff?
I did. So 2022 was probably, I was doing Chatterbix.
Yes, of course.
With Dave and Joe.
Yeah.
Best pod in the world, except for this one.
Thank you.
That was
close.
Yeah, that was close. Thank God that I saved
good
it.
Good instincts.
I did stand up, I think, in 2022.
Oh, hello.
So here he is.
Actually, I'm moving into telecoms. So there's been a ginger swap. That's what's happened there.
Oh, my God. Can you just go and work my job and I'll go and work your job? I'll go on the radio.
We should have a day. We could do a TV show where you just go and live my life. You just
job
go.
Swap.
You just go home to my kids and see if anyone notices. Because I had a haircut the other day and my wife didn't really notice. I figure if you went super short, I will just go and do some telecoms. You go and present on Magic Radio. Let's just see what happens.
I don't know who wins there. I think we're both on the even kilter. I think Kate would be happy.
I think Beth
would be happy.
Yeah. I think this is going to work really, really well.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay, so
can
live
we
shopping
actually
coming.
Do that? I think
it's a funny format. We should do it.
So
start out. Look, here we are. The Serious Guide to Joke Writing.
Oh,
6th of November 2022.
Again,
Paul Gorton
obsessed.
Hit stand-up.
Yeah.
Tell
I
me about
stand-up.
Your gigs, who you did them with, what happened.
So Kate bought me, I always wanted to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So like I try it in all the different guises, and stand-up's obviously the biggest one that you can do, or most natural one that you can do. So Kate got me a comedy course at the Comedy Store by Mike Gunn. Shout out to Mike.
Amazing.
And yeah, it was every Sunday and he would just kind of talk to you about doing comedy.
Mm.
And he was at the store. And the first thing, like, we all kind of got in there, and you were all a little bit kind of like, oh, this is fun, that what we're all doing and stuff like that. There was probably like 10 of us or however many, 15 of us. And he went, right, get up on stage, tell me who you are and what you want to do. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to talk into a microphone at the Comedy Store. So then I went up and then told her like a bit of a story, and then I'm hooked. And then he was like, now this is how you write jokes, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And at the end of the 6 weeks, you were... perform 5 minutes in front of an audience.
At the store?
At the Comedy Store. So I did that and it was amazing.
Did it go well?
I don't really get nervous over stuff like that. I don't really get nervous.
Okay.
Because everything's kind of like it's a win and I don't think there's...
Have you always been like this?
Yeah. No nerves, no fears over stuff.
So as a young kid, no kind of... So no self-doubt?
No.
Just always...
No, always overconfident.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well,
and then...
Well brought up, good parenting.
I think maybe I literally have no idea. It all comes from school. I think it always comes from like one like being like the class clown, like the attention seeker.
Yeah.
And then kind of that just kind of stays, but you just do kind of bigger things and bigger things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing off.
But some people along the way end up being the class clown or whatever and then get to 19 or 20 or whatever and go, oh God, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you've ever had the what am I doing with my life moment.
No, never. I've always got the, oh, well, this is obviously going to come.
Mm.
And I'm a puncher. So, like, what's the most crazy, like, amazing thing that I could go and shoot for?
Mm.
And, like, let's just go and try and do that.
So is there something in the back of your head at the moment, which is that?
Yeah.
Can you tell me?
What would my big thing be at the moment?
What's the thing where you're like, in a few years, is it a stand-up special? Is it doing Edinburgh? Is it, like, what is a thing where you go, that's what I'm punching for next time? Or is it just securing a really cracking telecoms deal?
So, oh no, I wouldn't think about the telecoms deal. I would love a sitcom about my early life in Burger King.
Great.
In, you know, like, early years, I used to answer emergency calls for the military in a call centre. So, like, your screen would, like, you're sat in rows, and the screen, each screen would go red, 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 and sometimes it will land on you, and it'd be like, you're about to answer an emergency call.
What?
And you would go, emergency call, state the emergency. And it'd be this guy from the army or in the navy, and he'd be like, oh, our base is on fire, we need to turn this. And I would be like, please hold, and I would call the, you know, the army fire brigade and this stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Mad. Got fired. Yeah, yeah. Everything I've ever done, I got fired doing.
How did you get fired from that job?
Because I like working my own shifts. I don't like the idea of saying, come in at this time and do this and blah, blah, blah.
Are you still like that now with your job now then?
Yeah, so my job is like really flexible in a sense of like it's all about maybe revenue you can generate rather than hours you sit in front of a desk.
Nice incentivization system.
Like that, yeah, yeah.
So how does that work with Traitors? Surely because Traitors was massively long days and you had to be there at a certain time. Or was that because it was a short burst?
So just a switch flip.
Mm.
So that was different because it's like your taxi's picking you up at this time and you're going to go and do this. But then in the back of my brain, it's something I want to do.
Yeah.
Whereas no one wants to work.
No, of course.
Or rather, I don't want to work in like a normal job, but I have to work in a normal job. Fair. And I have to make it fun and exciting because I see all them people more than I see my own family.
Until you write the sitcom about a boy eating
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Burgers in a toilet.
Am I doing Edinburgh Fringe in... Well, I am doing Edinburgh Fringe
we'll talk
in
about
August.
That. We'll talk about that.
God, it's amazing. What's that about?
I'm fascinated about the military emergencies.
Yeah. Because
it's basically you just going, oh, I'll just talk to my manager. Basically,
oh, crazy.
Every time. You're just passing it on.
And as that, when that flashes red, everyone else is kind of like looking at you and how you're dealing with it. And then your manager will come and hover over your shoulder.
Whoa.
And it'd be, and I was what? Yeah, like 20, 21, whatever it was.
I'm getting sort of submarine vibes. You know, when
boop,
boop, and everyone looks over here.
Yeah, yeah. But you can see it coming through. Boop, 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 and then it'll just be on you.
And what sort of emergencies did you get? And this is military calls, presumably from areas of conflict or what?
No, these were all UK like army bases or like naval bases. So the ones that I got were always fires.
Mm.
There's a fire in this over here. There's a couple of more hairy ones. Well, I can't talk.
No, of course,
it.
You signed an NDA.
Had to learn my phonetic alphabet.
Oh, mate.
Charlie Bravo.
That is impressive.
You're welcome.
I like to make those up as I talk to people. I'll be like, yeah, the reg is Charlie Bravo Dexter. But if you say it with commitment, they just go with
it. Yeah, yeah, fallopian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. That was a good word to pick out, wasn't it? Why did
flaps,
that come in my head?
Flaps.
Yeah, it's for flaps.
Everyone
yeah.
knows it's the funniest F word is flaps. All right, listen, Paul, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a look at your last few purchases on My Mate Bought a Toaster, okay?
Okay.
Because I feel like we've covered off a lot here.
Yeah, we have. It's like therapy.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
and
this is good.
Free. You don't even need to pay for this.
This is free.
This is free.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm certainly not paying you for this. No, I mean, it's been a delight to chat to you and to find out, to meet my long lost brother, of course.
Of course, yeah.
But just to sort of, I'm so happy that you have got on with the comedy stuff and come back to performance, right? Because you had the moment with the teacher and you fannied about and showed off.
Yeah.
And you didn't do it, but eventually you've come back to it.
It's come full circle.
Yeah, it's come full circle. Exactly.
I did an improv show a couple of weeks ago.
Tell me.
That was better than doing stand-up, in my opinion.
Improv is amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. And how is Kate when you come home after those gigs and you're just like...
Well, I'm constantly like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the moment, I keep doing a reading, but I know that I'm doing it. So I'll go, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what's just happened. And she'll go, what? And I'll go, Leto Atreides is only a worm. And she'll go, stop telling me about June. And I'm like, yeah, but the sand trout, it's on his arms and now it's his entire body.
It's not gossip if it's a book you're reading. Do you know what? That takes us beautifully full circle, actually, bringing up June. Thank you for doing that. You're such a pro. You have bought God Emperor of June, the 23rd of April, 2024. Only you've bought Children of June, you've bought June Messiah. Paul, do you like June?
I love June.
I think leaving you in this sort of weird fantasy soft play, which is what we're doing here.
I am a bit odd, aren't I?
Feels appropriate. No, but it's great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We find you at the beginning in a dishevelled loft with a 10 coming up the ladder towards you, and we leave you in this mad world of Frank Herbert's.
Yeah.
But again, we see themes, right? Because you're fully in.
I'm in.
This girl comes upstairs to your loft. You marry her.
Yeah.
You buy June. You get all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're. What do you call you like June heads? What are you called?
June bug.
Yeah. Why not June bugs? But you are. You're going to be on discussing it on forums before you know it.
What's testament is, if I do anything, I obsess over it and try and make it the best.
Yes.
So, like, the Edinburgh show, I can't really tell you too much about it on the old cameras and microphones.
Sure.
But, like, I want it to be amazing, and I want it to be, like, different. It's not going to be a stand-up show. Like, I want the audience to be really involved in it, and I want to create stuff and tell a story about my life, basically.
Okay. I mean, people can just listen to this. It's cheaper. and are you doing the whole month up there?
No.
Okay.
Charlie Kate. So I'm doing the improv show. They've asked me to come and do that up there.
That's lush.
That's amazing. I'm doing like this world's fastest pub quiz. So okay. I'm hosting that. Great. I've done a pub quiz before. Of course I'll go and do that.
I love that.
And then I'm going to do, I've been sent The Stand, which is like an amazing place. Like Frankie Boyle's like performed there.
Oh, it's a proper venue.
It's a proper venue.
Proper comedy venue. Yeah.
So they've sent me loads of different slots and dates and stuff like that. But I think I want to do as much as humanly possible, but I think I'll only do a week.
Okay. That's still great.
Because it's a week away from Kate and Charlie, so I've got to be really careful.
Yeah, and it will go in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I bet.
And you will get home and go, oh, I'm back in reality now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you'll like your family a lot less after Edinburgh, just to warn you.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to know one of the main, well, not one of the main reasons, but I love Googling my name after coming out of the show to see what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Reddit is the most fascinating place in the world.
I can't go on it. If I find myself on Reddit, or there's a few other forums where they talk about me,
it's amazing.
I don't want to know.
Do you remember Friends?
Yeah.
You know the I Hate Rachel Green Club?
Yeah.
That there's the I Hate Paul Gorton Club. I'm like bringing people together.
Does this bother you on any level?
No. I find it the opposite. I find it quite rewarding that people are having conversations and making new connections through me.
Bonding over you.
And one of the things was, how delusional is this guy? Because I spoke on Chatterbox saying, oh, well, I'm thinking of doing an Edinburgh Fringe show. Yeah. How delusional thinking he can go and do Edinburgh Fringe. So when I go and do Edinburgh Fringe, the projector, that is going to come up. Oh. I'll be like, to this guy.
These trolls are writing your show for you.
They're helping me. So I want to thank each and every one of them, because I won't be here without them.
If you've got some hate, share it on the comments below if you're looking at this clip. And then Paul is going to use it on his show.
Thank you so much.
In Edinburgh, that'd be so nice of you guys to give back. Paul's given you so much. Genuinely, obviously we've established we are basically twins, but I think there's a parting of the ways there. I think the thing is, the problem is I am desperately hurt by any negative comments
I see. Right.
So I think, you know what, it could have been great. We could have lived in a van together and been, at one stage, dog psychics.
Yes.
But that's so fundamentally important. I need to be with someone who is weak and needs to be loved constantly. You don't seem to have that need, and it's not going to work. I'm so sorry.
Opposites attract. No,
fine, I'll give it a week.
Yay. Right.
Paul Gorton, let's not call you Paul off for traitors. Paul Gorton, a human in your own right. This has been lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for letting us go through your Amazon purchase history. Good luck at Edinburgh. Everyone can find you on Instagram. What are you on Instagram?
Paul Gorton.
It dead works
easy.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dead easy.
Type it in Instagram, type it into Google.
Yes.
Go and have a look on Reddit.
Go on Reddit. It's fascinating.
Enjoy yourself. Paul, this has been great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I've loved it.
All right, then, as promised, this is me saying bye. Thank you so much for listening to Paul Gorton. You missed the bit as well, because we stopped recording, where we discovered at the end of the interview that we were both massive Liverpool fans. I'm sort of glad that happened afterwards, because even if you're a Liverpool fan, it was just too much. It became weirdly emotional. And Jack, the lovely man who films all this stuff, even he was like, guys, you need to spend some time apart, because this is too intense. Anyway, Paul and I are now very much in love and texting each other most days. So that's my new best friend, Paul Gorton. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, my professional best friend, Kat Shube, who I co-host the 4 till 7 show on Magic Radio with, is going to be dropping in. She is going to be my guest. I'm going to be going through her Amazon purchase history. That's going to be quite awkward, seeing as I have to see her for, 3 hours every single weekday. And if I find out anything a little bit too uncomfortable, a little bit too raw, then that's going to just ratchet up any kind of jeopardy in our professional relationship. Let's see how that goes, shall we? So that's the fabulous Kat Shube joining me next week on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Don't forget youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster. I know I keep mentioning it, but if you all subscribe to youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster, then I can earn about 30p. And it just means that I've got someone to edit these episodes and help me book more fabulous guests. So there you go. Oh, also, before I go, the Stephen Merchant interview has happened. And I will be dropping that at Patreon very soon. Patreon.com/toasterpod. So keep an eye out for that. All right, I love you so much. See you next week. It's my mate, Toaster.